Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
I love this. You heard this one this last week? Platinum locks. We're not talking Goldilocks anymore. There's a new term now out there. It's called platinum locks. But I caution you, even the best markets eventually run out of gas. So the Dow Jones was up this past week 1.3%. S&P 500, 5,000. Yep, we went solidly through 5,000. We closed the week at 5,089, up 1.7% for the week. Year to date, we're up 6.7% right now on the S&P 500. And it's February. It's not March yet. NASDAQ up 1.4%, MSCI International Index EFI, it's up 1% for the week. The 10-year Treasury came down a little, 4.25%, like that, that helped the market. Oil, $76.55 off the week, 2.4%, and bonds relatively flat, up for the week, 0.2%. So let's talk about stocks, because when I saw this term, platinum locks, I thought, what the heck is that all about? What does this mean when we're talking about stocks and what is going on with the market and what should you do? It's a great question. So thanks for asking. So let's look at the week and what happened. This past week, Thursday, it was really all about NVIDIA. They blew away the earnings. The optimism with AI is back. And that fueled this rally we saw this week in a big way. And as you remember, this is what started it all back in October of 22. The market is passing what one would consider a Goldilocks environment and is now entering a realm of justification that they're referring to now. And I just saw it again. You may want to write this term down, platinum locks. That's a step above Goldilocks. So here's the cases on both sides. I'm going to start with the bears first, because you kind of know how I feel about things in general, and I'll conclude with where we are. Here we go. So the bears case, here we go. Valuations on stocks, specifically the S&P 500. At this value, it is now trading at over 21 times 24 forward earnings of $243 a share. Now, let me put that in some context for you. A 21-time multiple isn't just high. It's unheard of, unless there's things going on like quantitative easing, QE, which means lowering rates, which that's obviously not happening, or 0% rates, which, again, that's not happening. Only then has a 21-time multiple been sustainable for a decent period of time. Now, again, I'm talking about bears here, okay? And obviously, right now, we have the opposite. We have rates still over 5% and no indication of QE happening in March anymore. But nonetheless, the S&P is still trading at 21 times forward earnings. So that's beyond Goldilocks. And so that's why they came up with this term, platinum locks. And largely confirmed by the fact, despite several pieces of negative news over the past few weeks, which of course we've covered, remember those? Rebound in inflation metrics. The Fed saying, we're not going to cut rates now in March, but we think June. And we're not going to cut five or six times, more like three or four times. That's all bearish, by the way. That's not good news. That's not so good news. We've also seen soft consumer spending coming out of the retail sales information. But market sentiment has barely moved. And so that reflects the fact that investors are believing in this platinum locks environment. And this is what's driving stocks higher. Now, I looked at three other indicators I want to talk to you about. First, the CNN fear/greed indicator. You can look these things up. It sits at 78. This is a scale of 0 to 100. It's at 78. That's squarely in the extreme greed zone. Red zone, if you will. If we go back to October last year, that indicator was at 20. So that's a pretty big jump. So we call that extreme fear reading. This index is widely followed because it incorporates 7 different momentum and sentiment indicators, and it provides a wide view of current investor and market sentiment. And so the message is clear. Investors are greedy and do not see material risk near term. Next index, the AAII Investor Sentiment Survey. This shows 44% bulls, and that is extremely bullish territory. This survey asks individual investors, people who invest, whether their outlook is bullish or bearish, and the percent of respondents that say they're bullish, bearish, or neutral is tracked. Anything over 37.5% is considered extremely bullish. We're at 44. Where were we in October? Not so good. 26. So again, another big move, which shows investors are extremely bullish about the outlook and not overly concerned about risk. And finally, Investors Intelligent Advisor Sentiment Survey. This has a bull bear spread of 41.1%. This is the most bullish spread I've seen since July of 21. This survey asks financial advisors, what they think about the market. It sits at 41%. 30% is the historical average. Additionally, a bull bear spread between 35 to 45% is considered a signal of elevated chances for a correction. And right now we're at 41. So it's at the higher end of that range. Last October, 18.4. So you see what I'm saying? The stretches, things are stretched. So the message is clear. Financial advisors, individual investors are very bullish near term and are not concerned about the outlook of risk right now. So what are the bulls saying? The people who are driving this market higher. Ready for this? Because they're both compelling cases. Here we go for the bulls. Earnings. Their earnings are backing up the gains. Market returns are guided by earnings. And over the last 30 years, the price of the S&P 500 index has risen by over 900%. You heard me right, 900%. Importantly, but not surprisingly, earnings per share for the S&P 500 rose more than 900% over that time as well. This highlights the long-term relationship between stock prices and corporate earnings. They don't, however, move in perfect lockstep with each other. After last week, 92% of companies that reported fourth quarter 23 results with a more than 7% upside surprise helped drive this market higher. So when a market hits all-time highs, because like I said, the S&P 500 closed at 5089, almost got to 5100 this past week, does that mean it's over? You're going to like this. This is bullish arguments. All-time highs are not the finish line. So the stock market surged to a record high last week, even eclipsing the high we saw in January of 22. Hate to say I told you so. We talked about this last year. On the back of new bull market that has delivered a 45% return, 45% return on the S&P since October 22. The upshot is that bull markets do not tend to reach exhaustion upon hitting new highs. Listen to that. In fact, history shows that the initial breach of an all-time high tends to be more of a mile marker on the way to higher gains. Here's the data. August of 20, we had an additional gain after that high was hit of 42%. Days until the eventual peak and correction, 347. March of 13, additional gain of 116%. Days till eventual peak, 1,735. May of 07. I'll remember 08. Remember 08? Sure. Additional gain, 2%. I remember that like yesterday. Days till eventual peak and ultimate disaster, 92. July 89. Remember 89? I do. That's when I first got in the stock market and I lost a lot of money. 352% was the gain. Days till correction, 2,709. November of 82. That one I don't remember, sorry. 137%. Days till correction, 1,215. You get my point. These are the bulls now. It's positive to see The recent broadening out of sector performance over the past year, technology, communication, are the runaway leaders, each gaining more than 57%, with the next closest being consumer discretionary and industrials. But this past month, we've been talking about leadership in the stock market is spreading out. It's more balanced. We see energy, communication, consumer discretionary, industrials, financials. So what does this mean for you? At the risk of sounding like a grizzled old skeptic, never-ending optimism towards this market as it surges past reasonable value does not make me increasingly more nervous. It does make me increasingly more nervous about air pockets and violent surprises. To put things simply, I do not agree that the current environment with 5.3% Fed funds and no rates coming in the near term, core inflation above 3%, economic growth solid but showing signs of slowing, the commercial real estate debacle, and two major global conflicts that have the potential to turn into regional conflicts is one of the best market environments I've seen in my entire career. To be clear, I'm not saying extreme valuation or very bullish sentiment will end this rally in the near term. They most likely won't, as you heard from the statistics. There has to be a negative event that occurs, and so far it hasn't happened. And I'm not saying to sell the market right now because that might be a mistake.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed is not considered your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.